Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. All right, as we continue, there are times in God's word where he describes his word as sincere milk of the word. Then there are times he talks about being meat. Okay, well, I hope you brought your sharpened dentures this morning, because we're going to be digging into some meat here today. This is very interesting information we'll be going through. Remember the last time we were together, we had looked at this Day of Atonement, okay, described here in chapter 17, that day in which the blood of the scapegoat was applied inside the holiest of all onto the mercy seat. Okay, and that was the day that the sins of all the people were rolled back or covered for an entire year until the next Day of Atonement came up. If you remember correctly, we just passed this day. We were talking about that September 15th to 16th was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement for the Jews here. It is a remembrance of this very day. We also talked about the fact that Hebrews reminded us that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is that sacrifice. He is the one who has gotten atonement for us. And we talked about his blood purchased it, bought us eternal redemption forever. No longer is it necessary to continue that sacrifice because the Lord Jesus Christ himself fulfilled that sacrifice. Okay, and that's where we were in this chapter. But we, the second half of this chapter, God deals with blood. Okay, the importance of blood, the picture of blood, what we do with blood, okay, and the fact that blood is extremely special. It is powerful, it is specific, and it is to be handled with great care because of what it means. Now, I will warn you right up front, I'm not going to have all the answers. If I had all the answers, I'd be God. Okay, there are some things that we'll talk about today that you'll say, well, why did God say? You're going to have to wait to ask him that. But he does give us some interesting clues here and very, very strong picture when it comes to what we're about to be talking about. All right, so if you're in Leviticus chapter 17 with me, I'd like you to begin with me reading at verse 10. We'll just read to the end of the chapter. And whosoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of a stranger that sojourns among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood. I will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for your soul. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, no man of you shall eat blood, neither any stranger that sojourn among you eat blood. Whatsoever man there be among the children of Israel, or the stranger that sojourneth among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he even shall even pour out the blood, therefore, and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it shall be the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not eat blood of no manner of flesh, for life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. Whoso eateth it shall be cut off. And every soul that eateth that which died of itself, or what is torn by beast, whether it be your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. Even then he shall be clean. But if he wash not himself nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, what it teaches us. Lord, this is a serious subject, heavy subject. Lord, we have to put our thinking caps on this morning. I thank you for the balance. When we were in Sunday school this morning, we talked about your love. We talked about keeping your commandments. Father, we talked about walking the way our Savior walked. And Father, some very, very everyday life practices that we can put into our just daily living. Father, today we're going to be talking about something that's a little bit more obscure, but Father, of absolute importance. So be with my mind, help it as we share some of the thoughts here. Lord, it is a sobering, sombering thought. Lord, when we talk about life and we talk about blood and we talk about blood being shed. So Father, I just pray your protection upon this subject, upon my mind, upon our thoughts, that we would keep them focused where they need to be and reminded how important this is for every single human being everywhere. Father, thank you so much. Bless your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to talk about the theme today, is life of the flesh is in the blood. All right, life of the flesh is in the blood. It is the life force that keeps every single one of us alive. Not only is that, there are very few living creatures that don't have blood. Okay, if you, no matter what it is, if you've seen History Channel or the Discovery Channel or anything, the blood might be blue, it might be green, it might be purple, everything has blood, okay, in some sort of substance that continues life. God is very, very specific in this, and we're going to break this down before this morning is over. But the theme to what the subject is, nobody can eat blood. All right? And I know your mind is already racing. Hopefully we're going to cover everything we're going to need to talk about this morning. But we are told not to eat blood. We're not to eat blood itself. Okay? And I watched several years ago, there's several tribal folks in Africa who will actually bleed a cow and mix it with milk and just drink the blood and the milk mixed together, okay? And that's a delicacy to them, is something very special. I see some of your faces going, okay? We don't necessarily have that same sort of cultural thing, but it is something that some folks do. God warns his people not to eat blood at all by itself, nor are you to have any meat with any blood in it. Okay, with me so far? Now, let me clarify something. This is a commercial. This is off the record, okay? But this is for some of you folks who have a problem with this. There are some folks who like their meat cooked to a hockey puck, okay? It has got to have absolutely no juice in it at all, because when you cut into that beautiful piece of steak and some of that liquid, that juice runs out, and it's like reddish in color, you go, "Ow, that's blood!" No, that ain't blood, okay? If you ever cook the chicken breast and you cut that open and a little bit of juice comes out that's not red color, that's the same juice. It's just broken down protein. So I just wanted to calm some of y'all down that if we're going to be talking about this, you know, I went out and we had a steak and some red juice came out of it. It's red meat. The stuff that comes out is red. White meat comes out. Anybody ever cook a fish? You cook a fish and cut it and some of that juice comes out of it. It's not red because it's not red meat, okay? So I just want to calm you down. If it just happens to be a little juice that comes out of a piece of meat that's red, that's not blood. That's not what we're talking about. Are you with me so far? Mm-hmm. We got to be honest. You know, one of the things we do with God's word is we are real in real life. Okay, there are some of you that cook, you know, pick up a hamburger after it's on the grill and it's like, you know, it's like hard as a rock because it's... You know, and if you're that way, that's fine. I'm not making fun of you. Yes, I am. I'm not. Okay? But I'm just warning you. If you don't like that, that's fine. You like your meat well done, but don't associate that with what we are talking about. All right? That's what my point is. If there's a little bit of pink-colored juice that comes out of meat, you're not violating God's word. All right? You with me? Now, I need to make sure of this. Now, God in the Old Testament is extremely careful about this. As a matter of fact, how many of you, and I know you all have, but I'm asking the question anyway because I'm stupid. All right? How many of you ever heard of kosher? Okay, kosher. It is a Jewish rabbi will come in and make sure that the meat was prepared in the proper way. Okay, it is blessed. It is made sure it's drained of its blood, everything, so it is fully approved to fit the Old Testament rules. that if you're going to eat meat or the flesh of some sort of creature, that it has no blood in it, that it has been drained. You with me so far? Everybody nod. Okay. I just want everybody to know that the ladies' luncheon downstairs, you're having beef stew. And I was very careful to make sure there was no blood in it. Okay. I'm glad we can laugh about this. God did a lot of things in the Old Testament. Number one, for a picture. Number two, for health. Okay, we understand that God did that. Now, primarily, and this is an amazing thing always to me, is those two things walk hand in hand. Okay, God created ants the way he created ants. You know why? Because he wanted to use them later on to show that they are working continuously, non-stopping. You ever read that proverb where it says, consider the ant thou sluggard? What about a bee? God created bees for a purpose because he wanted to use them. Okay, God made meat this exact way and he put blood in it for a purpose. Now he says, don't eat the blood to the Old Testament folks because for health reasons, but he also told them, don't eat it because it's a picture. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning, is a little bit more of this picture. Now, Genesis chapter 9, let's just go back. We're not talking about here in Leviticus that this comes up the first time. Genesis chapter 9, I just want to point out a couple of truths that God has made established. So you're saying, oh, this is just Jewish law. Okay, this is Mosaic law. Okay, Genesis chapter 9, verse 4. But flesh with life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So even back in Genesis, when he's talking to Noah, says, listen, life of the flesh is in the blood, and you're not going to eat it. So this isn't just something that came up when the Ten Commandments and the Levitical law was put together. This is something that was understood from the very beginning. God is very clear. He keeps, when he establishes a truth, he wants it to be a picture throughout his entire creation. So, what are we supposed to eat then? Right? Because God's telling us, okay, you got to be careful what you need to eat. Okay, don't eat this, don't eat that. Matter of fact, if you were, my wife and I have been looking into several folks around here raise pigs. And you could buy a half pig and they'll wrap it up in the little packages and put it in the freezer. And you know, if you were a Hebrew, you couldn't do that. Matter of fact, if you were out in the field starving to death and you came across a whole herd of pigs, herd of pigs? Sure, I heard of pigs. If you came and you couldn't eat, you'd still starve because there were certain things you could not eat. Now go to 1 Timothy. We're going to cover a couple things important to our daily life here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, some of you guys probably would have a big problem. I like bacon.
Yay!
Okay. Bacon is the fairy dust of food. Okay, you can put bacon on anything. You know what? If you were a Hebrew, you couldn't eat bacon. How many of you like lobster? Or really nice big bay scallops? Oh, man. Or, you know, you get these jumbo fried shrimp. Whatever, and I know we would have our game night on New Year's Eve, and Bob Ballou would come. He's passed on, gone to be with the Lord, but he'd always buy those little cocktail shrimps with that magic sauce, right? Ketchup and horseradish. And not many people wanted to eat the shrimp, except me. So I probably shrimp out that day. I had, 20 or 30 of them. It was great. You know what? If you were a Hebrew, you couldn't eat lobster, you couldn't eat scallops, you couldn't eat shrimp, those things. God had specific rules. But here in 1 Timothy, and this is where I want to go, just to clarify a few things this morning. Because if we're not careful, you might start going, are there things in my life that I'm eating that I shouldn't be eating? Well, I'll leave that question to you. If you get up in every morning and your, your breakfast is a box of donuts, we might have to have a conversation. All right? But listen to what God says. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. So here, now let me set the context, let me set the picture. We are talking about a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the Apostle Paul, who was a rabbi of the highest level, making a declaration about what we as believers in God can now eat. He says, everything, every creature is okay. Okay, remember this? God was doing this, and he lowers that sheet and says, go ahead, kill and eat. And he, oh, no, Lord, there's certain things I can't eat. And God says, no, don't you call anything that I've made unclean. So you understand that the picture of the Old Testament, the dietary laws were for the health of that people, but more than that, a picture of what he's trying to do. Nowadays, we can eat them bay scallops, right? We can get into that lobster. Doesn't matter. Because he says everything here can be eaten. But there's an important thought here. Now, please stay with me on this, because I'm going to say something that's going to kind of shake some of us. We have a tradition in Christian circles. Some of might call it a habit, even a ritual of this. Dear Lord, thank you for this food. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this. Just name amen. I mean, I'll do it. Okay, it's almost like a now I lay me down to sleep kind of thing. We've got it as a routine. And we developed that kind of because of this verse. That as long as we are thankful and ask a prayer over the food, then it's not going to kill us. Come on. You ever been in that situation? Listen, we're going to be real. You ever been in that situation and go, we forgot to pray for our food. But God's not, oh man, Lord, please don't make me sick because we didn't bless your food. Matter of fact, my wife and I were talking about this the other day. Some people say grace. You know, would you like to say grace over the food? We've never called it that because you're not adding grace to food by praying over it. Okay? But you're thankful for it. Now, let's talk about this just for a second. Are we really so convinced that we're adding some sort of magic potion to the food by saying a couple words? No, as a matter of fact, I know a couple Christians, when they bring their groceries into the house, they just pray over the whole set of it, and then they thank the Lord for it. Oh, we already blessed all this food when it came into the house. Is that really what we're talking about? Is this ritual? Now, please, sometimes we complain about other groups in Christendom that they have little rituals and habits that they do. Sometimes you and I can have the same habit, can't we? That we think if we just say a little mantra kind of prayer over the food every time we eat, that somehow it's going to be better for us. Okay? I also have a pastor friend who, you know, some people say, should we ask God's blessing on this cake or this ice cream? And I'll say, no, because God's not going to bless this to our bodies. Okay? Bad for you. You see how silly sometimes these things can be? I had a pastor friend who said that if they went out to eat and the meal was under $10 a piece, they didn't have to pray for it. Because it was cheap enough. Okay? We get these silly things that we do, don't we? Well, I want you to think about something here for a minute. What about the Word of God? Did you notice in that passage it said, let me just read it to make sure I get it right. It says, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. How many of us open our Bibles when we go to eat? Well, we got to bless this food. Chapter 3. And reread and then say, Father, thank you for this food. Thank you for this. We're not talking about a ritualistic habit that we do when the meal starts. Okay, the concept here, and this goes all the way back to what we're talking about today, and this is why this is so important. Life of the flesh is in the blood. God says everything that you have in your daily walk is sustained by food. Yes? Amen. How many of you didn't eat at all last week? Or last month? Or last year? We all eat every day. Why? Because if you don't eat, what happens? You die. Okay? Pretty easy. You don't eat, you die. here's the point. The nourishment that you and I take in, we must be aware every moment that it is God that has given us that. He sustains us. We don't say a magic, thank you for this food, thank you for this day, thank you for the good friends who prepared the food, amen. Woo! Now we're safe to eat. No, the concept is, I'm taking this nourishment into my body and living another day, Lord, because you provided everything I possibly need. Everything in my entire life, the oxygen that I breathe, the blood pumping through my veins, the food that is going into my mouth. If it wasn't for you, God, I would not be alive. I would not exist. Do we understand? That's the concept. So please, and now here we go. I know what's going to happen. Well, Pastor told us not to bless the food anymore. So we're not going to pray for it anymore. I'm not saying that. It's a good ritual. It's a nice thing to remind everyone that we are thankful for the food that God provides. But that's the issue. The issue is us recognizing without God and his sustenance, his sustaining power, we would not exist. That's where this life of the flesh is in the blood plays in. So even the fact that you can take food into your mouth and chew it and swallow it and your body will turn it into energy that will keep you alive another day is a gift of God Almighty, and it ought to be recognized that way. That's where it says as long as you give it with thanksgiving and you are asking God by the word of God, you recognize that, Lord, I would not be alive if it weren't for you. I'm standing up here this morning and the next heartbeat is a gift of God. My heart could stop right now. Everything about my life is because God continues to sustain me. All right? Want that to be clear. Now, don't go the opposite end of it. Because God gave us and he promised us and he pictures all the time that food is something he gave us for pleasure. Okay, I just said bay scallops. And some of you were going, oh. And you know, I see your wife in your mouth, aren't you? Okay? Because food is something that is God gave us to enjoy. This is why God continuously says, you know, when you cook that food on the grill, it's a sweet savor to me. That he talks about a land flowing with milk and honey. That he talks about, God didn't just create food. We don't eat a bowl full of mush. Hey, buddy, I get it. So, what's the Matrix? I love it. Good movie. It's got a bowl and it goes, this nasty looking stuff. And he says, every bit of nourishment a body needs. God didn't create it that way. He created us for it to enjoy it. As long as we do it within the guise that he set up. You with me so far? So please, if God's going to describe to us things we aren't supposed to eat, we better have a good understanding about what he's talking about. So he says, every creature on this planet. Okay, you know there are some folks in Japan that prepare a fish that is poisonous and you got to prepare it just the right way or it'll kill you. But they prepare it just right and you can eat it. You know what? Okay. Be thankful. God give you something to sustain your life. That's what God is saying. Now, with that in mind, right, that God sustains us, that everything we eat should be sanctified, set apart, right? That's what sanctified means. So all this food, Lord, thank you for it because it's going to keep me alive. Yes? This is why if you go to 1 Corinthians, there's a Bible verse, and we read the second half of this Bible verse with so much force and power in our lives, but we avoid the first part of it because sometimes we just don't know how to handle it. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 31 says this, whatsoever ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And we love that. Well, see, whatsoever you do, you ought to do it all to the glory of God. Don't miss the first part of the verse. The first part of the verse says, whatever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. How do I do that? Everybody, you know, stand up in the restaurant, everybody, hallelujah! Take a piece of pie. Jesus saves. Come on, I'm being a little silly, but if we don't understand the concept that God designed food to give him glory, So when I take that into my mouth, that piece of mouth watering right off the grill, piece of steak that just is buttered. And I know some of you are not meat eaters. I'm sorry, I am. I love it. Okay, that I'm going, thank you, God, for this. You designed it specifically this way for me to glorify you, to realize not only are you sustaining every bit of my life, but you've given me something to enjoy. It tastes so good. Whatsoever you eat or drink, do all of that to the glory of God. Now, stay with me. Are you with me? This is awesome. So that means how many times of the day should you be glorifying God? At least three times, right? How can you go through a daily, a week, oh, I'm only glorifying God on Sunday. That's when I all thought about it. You understand what God's trying to say here? He's saying every time you put something in your mouth and it tastes good, glorify God. Remember that he's your everything. He sustains you. The only reason that you and I are taking the next breath is because God is actively keeping us here. So breakfast, oh, thank you, Jesus, that I'm here. I get a chance to serve you. Lunch, man, Lord, it's been a great day so far. What else do you have planned for me? Dinner, man, Lord, the day's almost over. Midnight snack that none of us are supposed to have. Father, thank you so much for this. You get the picture? This is so amazing. It's not just, Father, thank you for this food, bless us, Father. It's something that should be reminded us on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. This is why fasting is such an amazing thing. Because you're denying the flesh of that thing it really wants and completely reminding yourself how much you need God. Because you need food. When you take that away, and that stomach starts going, all right, I know, I've been talking about scallops and stuff. You're already doing it. I can hear your stomachs. That's a reminder that God sustains us. And that I don't want to deny this flesh what it truly wants, to remind myself that my sufficiency is all in God. That's what this whole thing is wrapped up in. So the next time you put a fork to your mouth, remember what this means. With me? Okay. Our very survival is based on God. Without his nourishing, we'd be dead. And hallelujah, he's given us some pretty awesome nourishment. But now I want to get into the more difficult part of the subject to talk about. That the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now there's a very specific way this is worded. Every passage we read, the Genesis passage, three different times in this passage, he says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Okay? We are alive because we have blood in us. Yes? Okay, stay with me now. I want this to be clear. It is the central theme, one of the central themes of God's word. Blood equals life. Okay? And that God created it this way, he designed it this way. Blood equals life. Now please keep that in your minds. It is the life force that continues to keep us alive. You with me so far? It is one of the most powerful substances on the planet. Without it, you die.
Right.
Blood equals life. Okay? Now, he gives us a warning, and this is where this is so important, especially in the month we're about to come up on, in this culture we live in today. He warns us in Leviticus chapter 17 about devil worship. And I told you this is going to be serious. Put your big boy pants on, because we got to cover something here. Back in verse 7, he says, and ye shall no more offer sacrifices unto devils, after whom ye have gone a-whoring. Blood has been used throughout man's history in the worship of demons and devils. I need this to be pretty clear. And quite often, blood was shed on the ground, and there's history of this, there's actually a phrase that's not biblical, but that was said amongst and around the temple in an official phrase, that blessed be God, you know, blessed be Lord our God, who has told us to cover the blood. It's not a scripture verse, but it's a common statement that was said amongst the temple. Many times, pagan worship meant digging a hole in the ground or a special spot, either on a rock or somewhere else, and filling it with blood, and then carrying out pagan rituals to call up demons. Now, I'm telling you this because we have to understand the history of what God is speaking of here. Because there is, if life is in the blood, and there's an amazing power in this blood, and the shedding of this blood is so important, it was used in demonic worship. Leviticus chapter 19, I want you to go there. Well, no, go there in a minute. Deuteronomy. So go back a page. Now, I asked for a special prayer this morning downstairs, because then anytime we start dealing with this subject matter, there are forces that don't like it, and it can be kind of questionable. So I want you to keep your focus on the Lord as we talk about this. But this is a power that we are dealing with that needs to be understood. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now, remind you what I just told you about blood and how that it was set aside and put down specifically for pagan rituals to summon different beings. Chapter 32. Listen to what Deuteronomy says. Verse 16. He says, "They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations to provoke him to anger." Verse 17, "They sacrificed unto devils and not to God, to gods whom they knew not." Listen, "to new gods that came newly up, whom their fathers feared not." Did you hear that? That they were sacrificing in these pagan demonic rituals to new gods that were newly came up. There is power in what has been going on for a long time. As a matter of fact, this is so important about this shedding of the blood onto the ground, and blood is so important, and blood equals life. Do you remember what God said about to Cain after he had killed Abel? He says an amazing thing. He says, "Your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Just so we see it,